I wish that we had a thing where, like, as soon as you got to church, whoever you are, if Father Don could just be there and pray and just speak a prophetic word over you, and I'm really serious. He, every time, he just prays, and he prays over whoever it is that preaches, and God just, you know, it just goes right to your heart. It just goes right there. It's not something you don't feel like, well, he's just doing this for, it's like God really, you know what, Don, what a gift. And I know that would be a little, it would take our service a little longer, you know, if you did that for everybody that came in, but maybe one day we can do that if God speaks to you. But I really appreciate that, because it really helps me to know that God is involved in what we're doing, what we're saying. Today is Mother's Day, and this word is to encourage the mothers here, but I believe that it'll minister to everyone, mothers, fathers, kids, all of us, I hope. And it's really not a classic sermon. It's just I'm going to read some things about three different women and comment a little bit on that, and hopefully encourage those of you that are here today. And those three women are named Hannah, Jochebed, and Sonia. So you probably know who Hannah is. How many of you know who Jochebed is? Wow, Melinda. Anybody else? Who's it? It's Moses' mother, yeah. So that's according to the Torah. Her name is not mentioned in the passage about her in the Bible, but according to the Torah, that's her name. So we're going to talk a little bit about her. So first of all, I'm going to go to Hannah, and I know we're all really familiar with the story of Hannah. Hannah's always been one of my favorite people, not just mother or wife or any, but one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And most of us know the story pretty well, how her husband would go to pray. And so I'm just going to read a few scriptures and kind of go through this a little bit, and then just point out some of the characteristics of Hannah's life that I think will help us encourage, not only for the mothers to be encouraged, but for us to encourage mothers. On the starting in verse 4, on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her. And of course, her rival was Elkanah's other wife. Her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Now, you know, this is a place I'm just going to stop a moment. Somebody came to me this morning and said, you know, just been a hard week, been persecuted, been, you know, yelled at, been lied about, everything in the world, which is can be really discouraging. And just think, this is a woman who loved God so much, she would go and worship and be provoked and, you know, made fun of and mocked because she was barren. So therefore, Hannah leapt with joy. No. Hannah wept and would not eat. And what I want to say about that is, it's okay to weep. It's okay when you get a little down. But what Hannah did through that was keep on and keep on and keep on going to the house of the Lord and worshiping God. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Does that not sound like a man? you know what? Look, you got me, man. You got me. What's wrong with you? Better than 10 sons. She's going, yeah, right. And after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And again, you know, we talked about this on Palm Sunday and about even how Jesus was, it said he was deeply distressed. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. She believed, she trusted, she believed, but here's what I'm going to say about all of these mothers, or these three mothers that I'm going to talk about today. And again, I could say it about all of the mothers in this church. She believed, but God believed more. She believed, but God believed more. So as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Do you see what's going on here? She was greatly distressed. She was weeping bitterly all the time. She was hurt. She was angry. She was bitter. She was being mocked. Everything in that sense was going wrong. And even to the point where the priest said, hey, come on, lady, stop your drinking. You know, get a life. And she said, no. That's not what this is about. I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. And again, what a great example she is in the midst of this trouble. And then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She got the word of the Lord. She got the word of the Lord, and her face was no longer sad. And so they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. And they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. And just to point out about Hannah, you could say so much about her. This could be an entire series. But she was a worshiper. She was a worshiper. Nothing stopped her. Nothing stopped her from worshiping God. Not all the situations around her. Not all of her sadness. Not all of her distress. Not all the being made fun of. Not even the priest. Thinking there was something wrong and she was just some worthless woman. None of that stopped her. She continued to worship the Lord. She was a worshiper. She had faith. Not only did she have faith, she was faithful. She was perseverant. She kept on and on. And she was grateful to God. And she was honest. She was honest. She came through. She did what she said she would do. She gave her son to the Lord forever. She consecrated him, dedicated him to the Lord forever. She was honest about her word. She was true to what she said she would do. Because so many times, so many of us say, we'll do this, God, if you'll get us out of this little deal, if you'll get us out of this thing, if you'll get me a new job, if you'll get, then I'll do what I'll do, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? We don't do it. And that includes me. That wasn't Hannah. Okay. The next one, Jochebed. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. And you know, there are different things that people say what that was. One of them I was reading, one of the commentaries said it was slime. She used slime to cover the bottom and make it waterproof. Then there were other things that were said. Not really important, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And the baby's sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now we know the story before this that Pharaoh had declared that all the male children should be killed. She was breaking the law. That was a decree. She was risking her freedom for a child. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." And then the baby's sister, Miriam, who was standing close by, said to her, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" What are you talking about? Looking out for your sister. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Now think about this. There's a lot going on here. Here she is. She had saved her baby. She had risked her freedom, maybe her life, to save her child. And then she watched as Pharaoh's daughter took her, and she and all, just think of all of the pain that she was already going through, losing her child, knowing that she even when she just sent her down the river, she probably thought she would never see the baby again. She would never see the little Moses ever. And so there, the pain was probably, she was probably, something in her was released to go, "Well, now I've got to go on. I've got to move on. God, I've trusted in you." And then this, here's the setup, and she gets to go and nurse her child. So it was probably, there was probably a mixed feelings going on in her heart. What was going on? Like, you know, I've given my child up, but now I've got to stay here, and I don't know how long I'll get to be. I don't know when that last day will be when I won't be able to be with him anymore. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Jochebed was courageous. She was a courageous woman to do what she did. To risk her life, to risk her freedom, to save her son. And she was also, another thing that we can see in her, she trusted God. And I think she was trusting God from the very beginning of it. And when she went and put the baby into the river, she was trusting God at that point, but she continued to trust God through every part of this terrible situation. She trusted God to take care of her son, though it had to be for her extremely heartbreaking. Well, just like Hannah, she believed God, but God believed more. How could Hannah know that her son would be talked about 4,000 years from the time that she had that child? That her son, the prophet Samuel, still spoken about, still used to encourage people all over the world. Still his name and his life and his character still used, that little baby that she had, that she never thought she would have. How could she know that he would still be called a great prophet of God so many thousands of years later? She believed, but God believed more. How could Jochebed know that this little baby that she released into the river, just released and probably weeping and crying, heartbroken, how could she know that he would be called, that he would be Moses, the lawgiver? Again, thought of as probably the second greatest figure in the whole entire Bible. How could she know that? She believed something would happen. She believed God would do something. But how could she know that God would do so much? She believed. Sonia, the next character, and she's the last one. Sonia was one of 24 siblings, half of whom she never knew. She was Benny's mother. And Sonia grew up in foster homes until she was 13 years old. And at 13 years old, she married a man who called her his China doll. And some years later, she had two sons. When she found out that her husband was a bigamist, she made the difficult decision. She'd actually found out that her husband had another family. She had to make the difficult decision because her sons loved their father dearly. She made a decision to leave him. Renting out the house she received in the divorce settlement, Sonia, with her sons, temporarily moved into a tenement with one of the sisters that she did know. And she took two, sometimes three jobs as a domestic to just support herself and her sons. She had attended school only up to the third grade. She didn't know how to read. Her younger son, Benny, had never done well in school, and now he was deeply saddened by the absence of his father. Convinced that he was the dumbest kid in the fifth grade, he brought home test grades and report cards that seemed to confirm his opinion of himself. He wasn't doing very good. His older brother wasn't doing well with his studies either. What could this illiterate mother, who had married at 13, was now divorced and struggled off and on with serious depression, due to help her growing boys? She worked such long hours cleaning wealthy people's houses that she wasn't even there during the kids' after-school time, often not arriving home until they were in bed. She knew that she had to do something to help her boys begin to live up to their potential. And though she didn't know what to do, she knew someone who did know. So she prayed, and she asked God for wisdom and guidance. She also paid attention to the habits of the high achievers that she worked for. She made some decisions, and she told her sons about them. They were to choose and read two library books per week and hand in book reports to her. They didn't know that she couldn't read the book reports that they were giving, that the boys were giving to her. And they were to limit TV to two pre-selected programs per week. Whoa. How about 2 hours of the internet or video games per week? How horrible. Her friends thought she was crazy. They said her kids would grow up and hate her. And they were only able to watch after their homework was done. Two books per week, Benny thought. Alarmed, he had never read a book in his life. And how would he live with almost no TV. I mean, literally, how could he possibly live with no TV? To top it off, Benny had a terrible temper that even he realized would land him in jail one day if he didn't learn to control it. His mother repeatedly told her sons that they could do anything that anybody else could do. You know what? The thing about the moms that I'm talking about today is not only did they believe in God, they believed in their children. They believed in their children. She believed that her kids, this crazy little kid that had this terrible temper, and it was probably headed off to some, you know, juvenile home or something, you know, kind of reminds me of this other little kid that I knew that when he was little, they called him Terrible Terry. She believed in him. She believed in her boys. She believed they could do anything that anybody else could do. She always had faith in them, and she never accepted excuses. She made none for herself and would accept none from them for their own good. Benny went from the bottom of his fifth grade class to the top of his sixth grade class in 1.5 years. He earned a scholarship to Yale and became the head of the pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital when he was 33 years old. He was one of the, you know what, today that we talk about 30 being the new 21. It's like people, when they get to 30, they hadn't even thought about what they were going to do. Here he is, 33 years old, the head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. He was one of the youngest people to ever hold that position and the first black person to have a position like that in a world-renowned medical center. In the first 7 years of his career, he performed breakthrough surgeries that changed the lives of his patients all over the world. His mother's perseverance in their education paid off. Ben's grades began to improve during the second half of the fifth grade, and then he went on to school, and as I said, he graduated. And in 1987, Dr. Benjamin Carson became a world-renowned neurosurgeon, leading a team to remove two Siamese twins who were joined at the back of the head. Carson and his team of more than 70 people prepared for 5 months before the surgery. 5 months preparing for the surgery. Many of you have probably read the book or seen the movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. And he prepared for 5 months, which included performing several dress rehearsals. I don't know how you do a dress rehearsal for brain surgery, but he did it. And on September the 5th, 1987, after 22 hours in the operating room, the boys were successfully separated. His mother said, if you don't accept excuses, pretty soon people stop giving them, and then they start looking for solutions. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian award in the United States of America to be offered by the President of the United States. He said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother. I'm not sure I want to say it quite like that, but my mother, Sonia Carson, was the earliest, strongest, and most impacting force in my life. It would be impossible to tell about my accomplishments without starting with my mother's influence. She believed, but God believed more. Now, Ben Carson's life is still going on. I guess he's felt like, you know, he'd done everything he could in neurosurgeries. Now he's a candidate for the United States, for the President of the United States. And I have no idea if he'll make it that far, but it really doesn't matter because he's already made a great impact on the world. And he said it's because of his mom. So moms, be encouraged. No matter what your little kid is acting like, thinking like, doing, No matter what it looks like, you keep believing, and God will believe more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.